just smiling faces, Lord, some that we haven't seen for a while, and just pray that you would guide, lead, and direct in all things to this morning. We pray for thy will to be done. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Go ahead and turn, like I said, to Romans chapter 3. I'll preach a message, sacrifices require faith. When you look in the Bible, there's a teaching, dispensational teaching, that I used to really hone in on the dispensational teaching quite often. Used to be in a church where, the pastor basically preached on dispensationalism every week. And, it was just, all the differences. Here's the differences. Sometimes I think we make, a mountain out of a molehill. The differences are not as drastic sometimes we'd like to think that they are. Now, I'll tell you this, there was nobody looking forward to the cross. I mean, it can't be. God was looking forward to the cross. But as far as humanity looking forward to the cross, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, had the prince of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The reason it had to be hidden was because even though it was in Scripture, even though Jesus told the apostles that he was going to go to the cross, he didn't open up their understanding until after the cross. That's important to understand, because when you're reading before the cross, things that are different are not the same. You can't say, well, they believed on the Lord just like we do, trusted in the Lord like we do. Now, I will tell you this, they trusted in God and they trusted in the revelation that God gave them. That revelation was different from the revelation that we have. And we'll see that as we go through the Scripture this morning, because I want to hone in on the sacrifices. What was so important? I mean, if you think about our sacrifice, if I asked you, what is one of the primary verses that talks about the sacrifice that we're supposed to make, what does it deal with? Our what? Our body. Present your body a living sacrifice unto God. So we're supposed to present our body, but now, listen, the nation of Israel is supposed to present themselves as a sacrifice too. And that's what we're going to see. Yeah, we don't have any bullock to bring to the altar. We don't have a lamb that we're going to slay. We don't have blood outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have any of those things going on today like they did back there. And then again, why are things different? Well, because they are. When you study your Bible, things are different. But when you look at a verse like, and I'll just quote it to you, 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. People have a form of godliness. There are people that want to be Jews today. You know, Messianic Jews, Jesus Jews. And listen, the thing is, you lose all distinctions in Christ Jesus. There's neither Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. There's not supposed to be all of these distinctions. Sometimes there's a distinction between clergy and laity. Well, laity comes from the Laodiceans in the book of Revelation, and God rebukes that. So there isn't a clergy-laity. The clergy isn't over the people. Religion teaches that. Religion says, the clergy's on a different level. Really not. Now, there are expectations of a pastor that aren't put on everybody else. I get that. But you don't lord it over God's people. You don't go and try to use positions to control people. That's, again, religion. Religion. Romans 3, I wanted you to turn there. Look at verse 31. Romans 3, verse 31. The Bible says, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So how do you establish the law? Through faith. What is important in your life? It's faith. Do you know what the world is trying to destroy all the time? And that is your faith. There are people that will tell you, well, I remember they said Jesus was coming back. He is coming back. And he could come back soon. I know he's coming back sooner than what he was yesterday. I know he's coming back sooner than what he was a year ago. In other words, he's coming back. Don't let the world try to convince you that just because people have said, hey, look for Jesus for the last 30, 40 years, that somehow his promises have failed. It's just that it's in God's timing. In World War II, when they were bombing Britain, you can imagine what the people thought about Jesus. Well, he's got to be coming back. This is the end of the world. Look at Nazi Germany. They're taking over the world, and on and on and on. And then look what happened. We came through it. Now, you know, when certain things happen in America, we have a tendency to look and go, oh, the sky is falling, the world's ending, it's all over. Well, you do realize that America's a small bit in the whole puzzle of the world and of life. You can't look at America and think that God is an American. I'm patriotic. I love America. I think it's America first as far as, you know, hey, I wish we'd buy all American goods. I wish that we would not have, you know, be indebted to China like we are. I wish that, you know, we had stores that really put their money where their mouth is and said, hey, we're going to buy American goods and American jobs. And I wish companies would stop moving out of the country that are being forced out by our tax situation and our government. I wish all that stop and all of it would turn around and all of it would be done right. I'm an American, but let me tell you, this book is not an American book. This is an Eastern book. This is a book that's written for all people, all time, and it's written for thousands of years, and it has always been applicable. It isn't just applicable after 1776. And again, we're decorated, you know, for July 4th coming up, and listen, this is a military, retirement church, so to speak. I mean, we've got a lot of ex-military in here. Listen, that is important. Don't ever think anything I say diminishes that importance. I believe, you know, the first responders, whether they're firemen, policemen, they're in nurses, what doctors, grocery workers, you know, on the front line of this thing with COVID. I mean, I get it. You know, don't ever think that I discount that because it's so very important. So again, he says, do we make void the law through faith? Does faith void the law? No, we establish the law. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. I want you to understand some things about the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. It is important to understand that God set up the Old Testament with its sacrifices for a purpose. And the purpose is pretty well delineated in Isaiah 1:11. It starts, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? God's going to start rebuking them for what they're doing, saith the Lord. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. God was so sick of a people that worshipped Him with their mouth, but their heart was far from them. You know what God wants from you? He wants your heart. He wants your heart to serve Him. He wants you to present your body, but you can't present your body if you don't present your heart to God. God cares about who and what you are. He wants your heart fully engaged in His work. Look at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You see, some people may look at God and they think, well, God really doesn't care what I do. He does care what you do. He cares what you think. He cares how you interact with others. He cares about every aspect of your life and my life. Every aspect, from the minutest detail to the greatest thing that we can think of in our lives, God cares about that. And God wants us to present that to the Lord. Whatever it is in your life, whatever problem you may have, He wants you to come to Him. He wants to hear from you all the time, every day, every way. He wants to have a relationship with you and with me. He wants that relationship. He can force a relationship on anybody, but He doesn't do it. He doesn't do it because He wants us to draw nigh unto Him. He'll draw nigh unto us. I quote that all the time because sometimes we think, oh, well, where's God when I need Him? Well, God's always in the same place. It's us that move. It's our fault whenever we think that God somehow has turned off the spigots of blessing. They're not turned off. They're only turned off on our side. God's up in heaven. He's saying, hey, show me how to bless you. Get me involved in your life. Look at the book of Proverbs. I want to look at a couple of things about, were the sacrifices important to God? Or was it the faith behind the sacrifices that truly mattered? What I want you to understand is, listen, you could, as a Jew in the Old Testament, that Jew could bring a bullock and his heart wasn't right. God knew what his heart was. Sometimes, you know what they would do? They would give a lame animal to God. That's why God said, give it to me without blemish. You know what that means? It's going to cost you something. You take the best of the best and you give it to God. You know what we sometimes do ourselves? We give God the leftovers. You think about reading your Bible. Well, you know, I just didn't have time all day today. Now, Judy missed her reading yesterday because I told her to go somewhere, so I'm not preaching to you, Judy, because I just thought about that. I told her, I said, no, you need to go. And she reads in the morning, you know, first thing, she gets up, gets in the chair, gets a cup of coffee, reads. But, I just had to say that because I certainly don't want my wife to think that I'm preaching at her when she's missed one time that I can remember of in a long time. But don't give God the leftovers. So don't give Him the leftovers anymore, Judy. Just kidding. Hey, don't give Him the leftovers. Don't wait until the end of the night and go, oh, man, I hadn't prayed all day. Really? That's not, yeah, listen, if you hadn't prayed all day, pray at the end of the night. The next day, determine, hey, I'm going to pray early. I'm going to pray often. I'm not going to wait to the end of the day and give God the leftovers when I'm tired and worn out and just have no more energy left. Now I'm going to focus on God. He wants your focus early and often. Proverbs 15, look at verse 8. Proverbs chapter 15. Here's how you know it's the heart. If God was only concerned with sacrifice, He wouldn't have this in the Bible. He says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. You know, prayer can be sacrifice. You're sacrificing time. But He says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. He says that again in Proverbs 21:27. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? Go ahead and turn over there. Look at Proverbs 21:27. Because it's a little different from a different angle, but it says the same thing at the beginning. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? So here you got somebody that's bringing a sacrifice to God, but their mind is not focused upon God. Their focus is on something else. It's like coming to church. I mean, if I asked you, what are you thinking about right now? You know, in other words, we all daydream. Our mind wanders. But God wants your mind affixed upon His Word. And His Word will speak to you in ways that it only can speak to you if you allow it to happen. If you and I, we get our focus on everything else in the world, all the problems, all, you know, what are we going to eat today? You know, whatever. You know, where are we going to go to eat? What's the restaurant? And you're on your phone looking up restaurants, making a reservation. I mean, really? But there are people that do that. See, they're here in person, but their mind is far away. He says it's an abomination for those to sacrifice. It's a wicked abomination, he says in the Old Testament. Look at 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel is talking to Saul who has sinned. In verse 22, here's the question. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? See, Saul said, well, I got to sacrifice because the enemy's coming and they're having the sacrifice hasn't been done. Well, wait a minute. The priest was supposed to do that. Samuel was going to show up and he was going to give the sacrifice. He says, I'll be there in 7 days. Well, on the seventh day, Saul got impatient and said, hey, we can't go to war until we go through the motions of doing this sacrifice. He was just going through the motions. And here's the question. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He said, listen, it's much more important to obey. God wants our obedience. He doesn't want us just to go through the motions and say, well, you know, I got to go to church because it's expected of me. Listen, come to church because it's expected of you. But you know what He wants you to do? He wants you to get to the point where you come to church because this is what you want to do. That's how He's able to impact you and affect you and mold you and make you into what He wants you to be. He can't use a vessel that comes and says, well, I'm just here because I have to be. I don't want somebody talking about me while I'm gone or anything. He wants you heart, mind, and spirit here. Look at Psalm 50. Psalm 50. The sacrifices were not merely about a person trying to please God with them. See, it wasn't just about sacrificing to please God. It was all about the heart. Psalm 50, look at verse 13. The Bible says, will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. He says, offer unto God thanksgiving. You know, one of the things I find in people is that we're not always a thankful people. Do you think about how blessed you are in life? And do you thank God every day for those blessings? I know we have, you know, Thanksgiving in November, probably the greatest holiday that we have, really, is Thanksgiving. It's not, but, you know, look at the focus, Christmas. Look at the focus, Easter. No, the Thanksgiving. Thanking God for the blessings of life. And listen, we all have them. You ought to go around the table at Thanksgiving and say, hey, I want everybody to come up with something that they're thankful for. Children, parents, grandparents. And you just, one after another. And then if you can, go around a second time. Say, hey, okay, that was easy. Let's do it again. And you go around a second time. And be thankful. Tell God how thankful you are. Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Next psalm over, verse 16. Look at what God says. For thou desirest not sacrifice. Else would I give it, David writes. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Here's what the sacrifices of God are. It's a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God. Thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. What's God want? He wants the sacrifices of righteousness. Go back to verse 1 of that chapter. Look at what David writes. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You see, that's the context of the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Look at verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know why sinners aren't converted and transgressors don't understand the way of God? Because we have lost the joy of our salvation. How joyful are you? I mean, how much joy do you convey to those that are around you? It gets harder every day, it seems. You have to focus on it. You know what you have to determine? You have to determine that, you know what? I'm not going to be so upset with everything the devil's going to throw at me. I'm not going to let it control me. I'm not going to let it destroy me. And I'm looking out there at some people that have physical ailments, and that's easier said than done because right now I got a couple of bruises on my arm. That's about it. You know? But I hope you understand the goal is to have that joy all the time, to try to convey that joy. Sometimes we go through things in our lives so that we can, when we come out of them, you know what it's like to come out of something? Let's say Larry and let's say Holly get some relief of the problems that they're having. And there's others, and Debbie gets relief from her situation. Do you realize when you come out of that, you look at good health and you go, "Phew, won't be taking that for granted for a little while." See, sometimes, I mean, I haven't had the ailments, you know. I mean, I was sick a couple of weeks ago, you know, but that's just being sick. No biggie. It was worse when Judy got it. It's tougher when the guy has to take, and I'm not a good patient, and I'm not a good doctor, I'm afraid. But you think about good health when you come out of it. Praise God for that. Praise God for the blessings of life. I mean, just listen, if you look around, you'll see Him. If you put your head in the sand, you won't understand how good God is to you. Now let's turn to the book of Romans. Look at the book of Romans. We're looking at the sacrifice in the Old Testament. And here's where people get really confused. I mean, you know, they look at those sacrifices and they think, oh no, well they did those sacrifices in order to, be saved. No. If a law could have been given, which could have given life, that law would have been given. But there was no law given because of the weakness of human flesh. God can't give a law that man could keep to justify himself. Because we're all sinners anyway. Look at Romans chapter 8. We'll just jump in one verse, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. See, the law couldn't do it. So what did God have to do? He had to send His Son down from heaven's glory to condemn sin in the flesh. Thank God He did that. We would have no salvation. We would have no hope. I know that if I were to die, where I'd spend eternity. I've known that for 40 years, even for the 3 years I didn't serve God. I knew if I were to die that I'd spend eternity in heaven with God. What a great treasure that we all have as Christians. We have a treasure that the world cannot fathom. Where is the sting of death? There is none. I don't fear death as much as I fear getting sick and having an ailment that's long term or just, you know, the problems. I think of Miss Millie, you know, she's been gone since January. Man, that bothers me, you know, that, like they say, getting old's not for sissies, Miss Millie. Gotta be strong. Keep going. Keep moving, keep going forward. And we missed her. Glad to have her back. Well, I didn't even know. I mean, that's almost six months. Man, time flies. Time flies. Look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Why did Israel have a problem? Because it was a matter of the heart. You have a problem because if you ever think it's not a matter of the heart, God doesn't want your sacrifices without your heart. Here it is, Romans 9, verse 31, talking about Israel. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained the law of righteousness. And then it says, wherefore? How come? Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled that stumbling stone, as is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. What? Here's the bottom line right there. That verse is a life changer for anybody that thinks the law somehow justified a person. What was Israel's problem? Israel's problem wasn't that they didn't bring the sacrifices. They brought them sometimes when they could. Israel's problem wasn't that they, you know, they didn't fight the battles of God, but many times they fought them in the flesh. Here's the problem. The problem is they sought it not by faith, but they sought it by the works of the law. You and I cannot look at our works and think somehow that makes us more acceptable to God. You know what makes you acceptable to God? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. So here's the thing. You've got to figure out how to strengthen your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... So there you go. Why do we have preaching? In order to strengthen your faith. Why did God give us the Word of God? In order to strengthen your faith. And then the Bible says that which is not of faith is sin. That which is not of faith is sin. It's all about faith. What was Israel's problem? They sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. You can do the works and go through the motions all day long. I had a young man tell me the other day he was drinking a couple of weeks ago. Judy was there, and I commented on her. And, you know, he was just drinking and doing his thing. And then he says, well, you know, I can always go and just confess, and I'll be all right. Confess to the priest. That's what he said. And I sat there. I was sitting down. He was standing up. And I just looked at him like, you've got to be kidding. Did I actually just hear that with my own ears? But that's the philosophy that's taught. You know what that is? That's man's philosophy. That's religion telling you, listen, all you do is go through the motions. Do you think that man had one iota of faith? And maybe he did. It was misplaced faith. Faith in that the thing that he had been taught, the thing that he believed and how he grew up, and that it really was true. It's not true. God wants your heart. He wants your heart, and we have to determine that we're going to give it to Him. Look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3. See, we looked at the Old Testament, and some of you might think, well, boy, that's Old Testament. Why is that important? Listen, if you can understand some things about the Old Testament, you can understand the New Testament better. The problem, if you can understand the problem with Israel, you can understand the problem in the church. If you understand the problem in the church, you can understand the problem in your life. It's all about faith. Galatians 3, and we'll just jump into verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If a law could have been given that could have given life, God would have given that law. Now, what was the problem with the law that He gave? Nothing. What was the problem with the law that He gave? Man. Man. See, man, you know, man's like, well, you know, what is it? Not the prodigal son, but the Samaritan, the good Samaritan. So here you got a religious man that sees somebody hurting and in need, and he walks on the other side of the road. Why? Hey, that's religion. Then you have the Samaritan. He does something about it. He makes a difference in the person's life. That's a heart. And that's what all of those examples are in the Bible. It's all about the heart. It's all about impacting other people for the glory of God. Listen, if a law could have been given, it would have been given, but it was weak through the flesh. God gave the law, but there isn't a problem with a law. If it could have given life, it would have, but it couldn't, because God couldn't make us with a free will and yet be able to do what we needed to do to earn our own salvation. Can't be done. Look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69. We'll look at a couple of passages in Psalms. Psalm 69, verse 30. The Bible says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The Bible's amazing. An ox or a bullock that has horns and hooves. He says, I'll praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify Him with thanksgiving. What an amazing God. Look at Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Bible says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. That's David writing. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. He said, my heart trusteth Him. You know what the Old Testament's about? The heart trusting in God. What about the sacrifices? Without the heart, they're nothing. And that is the problem with all of us. You can go through the motions of all that you can think of in Christianity. You can go through the motions without the heart and it doesn't mean anything. One more verse in Psalms and then we'll look at Hebrews 13 and be finished. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Look at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He says, many will see what was going on with David and trust in the Lord. That's what it's all about. Everything about your life is trusting in the Lord. And you can't trust without the heart. That is the one thing. You can't believe without the heart. You can't trust without the heart. Faith is a matter of the heart. Everything has to do with your heart. One more verse. It's Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, and we'll close. Hebrews 13, we'll look at verse 15 and 16. By Him, that is by Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such, I write in my Bible so I couldn't read the word such. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now look at the verse again, because I messed it up. By Him, that's by Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The sacrifice of what? Praise. That's what he said. That's the book of Hebrews. Some say, well, the book of Hebrews addressed to the Jews. Okay, sacrifice of praise. It's not bringing a bullock to the altar. It's not. It's all about your heart. Don't go through the motions of life and think that everything's okay. He wants your heart. He wants your mind, your soul, etc. But He wants your heart and He wants my heart. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, You thank You for Your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that You'd have Your will and Your way in our lives. Lord, we thank You for being such a gracious and merciful, loving and kind God. Lord, we need You. We need to hear from You. We need to know how real You are. Lord, we are an unworthy lot sometimes. But Lord, You are always gracious and merciful, kind, long-suffering. We pray for Thy will to be done. In Jesus' name. With your head bowed and eyes closed, the music's playing.